Okay, I'm gonna, this session, I'm specifically gonna deal with budgeting, very practical. And you're also welcome, I'll give time for questions at the end. I'm just gonna mention a few things, and then I'm gonna take you through a budget on Excel. Okay, on a salary, which I just chose. And then, yeah, then we take it from there. I just wanna pray for us, because this is really something God must help us with. Okay, let's just give it to the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are so involved in the detail of our lives. And even in our income and our expenses and our needs and even our wants, Lord, things that we desire could sometimes just be something you want to bless us with, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you will help us to find the balance between all this tension in our hearts of having, wanting to give and debt and budgeting and all these things, God, and I pray for order in our finances. I pray for order. I pray for a biblical perspective, and I pray that you will guide us and lead us in the name of Jesus. Amen. I mean, C.S. Lewis, it's a quote of him, there ought to be things that we should like to do and cannot do because our charitable expenditure excludes them. Makes you think, eh? There ought to be things, there must be things we should like to do, but we can't do it. Purely because we do have the money, but we make a decision to channel it somewhere else. And then, a quote by S.M. Kruger, that's me, for those of you. Just because you can afford it, does not mean that you should buy it. Okay, that's my quote. And it's not something I say lightly because I've been there. You know, I've been at a stage in my life, I really earned quite a bit of money. You know, then I walk through game, through those, you know, all those gadgets, those household gadgets, the slow cooker. And I mean, I'm not even a kitchen girl, eh? I don't spend that much time in the kitchen. But now I look at all these gadgets, a slow cooker and a liquidizer and, you know, some things I didn't even know what to do with it, but I just thought, I can buy all these things. I can. And then all of a sudden, I wanted to buy all of those things. And I just realized, just because you can afford it doesn't mean that you should buy it. And I had to deal with that thing in me because there was a stage in my life where I could afford a lot of things. I could afford very expensive jewelry. I could afford a really nice car if I really wanted to. I could do it. And I had to deal with that thing in me that just because I can afford it doesn't mean that I should have it. Okay. So I want to talk to you about the 70 principle of lasting wealth. This is not a rule, this is not the Bible, this is not the law, but it's a very good way of structuring your budget. You tell your money where to go. Okay, so if you are not in debt, if you don't have any debt, the first 10% goes to your tithe, to the church, okay, to the storehouse, as I taught last week Sunday. The first 10% always goes to your tithe. The second 10% goes into savings. Savings would be more short-term things, like you're saving for a car, you're saving for a deposit on a car, or you save for a nice holiday you want to do, or you save. It's savings, okay? You are going to use it maybe in the near future, or in the next 5 years, or in the next 10 years even. That could also be savings. And then the 13% goes to investments. That would be a more long-term thing, like a retirement annuity, or you can buy shares. That's more something for the long term. Okay. If you are in debt, your first 10% still goes to your tithe. Your second 10% goes to pay off debt. That's over and above your monthly payments you have to make. Okay. So you try to, within the 70% that's left, you try to pay off then your car and your house or whatever payments you have to make to your creditors, and you put an additional 10% away to put into your bond or into your car. Okay. And then the third 10% goes into savings because it doesn't really make sense to now make investments if you have debt. Okay, if you look at the whole thing of interest paying versus interest or growth, and obviously this is not the law, but this is a good suggestion to try and actually live on 70% of your income in general, and then 30% you channel it into savings, giving, and investments or paying off debt. When I just want to come back to my story of when I started working. I didn't have a car, as I said. I couldn't afford it. I didn't have a cell phone. Okay? I mean, I still don't know how I did it. And I still don't know why I just didn't get pay-as-you-go or something. But I couldn't afford a cell phone. I had a landline, a telecom line at home. And I just, at work, they always knew where I was. I was either at a client or at the office, and I had a telephone at home. That was my telephone. So people couldn't get hold of me via a cell phone, but I mean, I worked around it. Once again, because I couldn't afford it. I mean, it sounds pathetic, but that was my situation. And I was not going to go into debt to buy a cell phone. So I couldn't afford a car. I couldn't afford a cell phone. I stayed in a bachelor flat with a friend. And then the thing that happened is she moved to America to do a pair work 2 months after I moved in with her. So all of a sudden, a 550 rand rent, that was 1999 in Stellenbosch. We paid 1,100 for a bachelor flat in Stellenbosch that stage. It's 10 years ago. What? 12, 13 years ago. And then I had to pay 1,100 rand for the flats, unexpectedly. I earned 3,600 rand a month, for which 700 rand went to a laptop that was part of our... So I actually earned 2,900. The laptop was all included, but I had to pay it. It was like part of our package. 2,900, on which I gave to the church 10%, and I had to pay rent of 1,100. Okay, so, I mean, surprise, surprise, I couldn't afford a car or a cell phone. But you know what? It was a wonderful time in my life. I mean, I could hardly do anything. I just couldn't. But that time in my life, I'm so thankful for, because I learned to live within what God gave me. And so what I want to say once again is, we just say you have to have a cell phone and you have to have a car. And how can you live in a bachelor flat with a friend? You know, I got a flatmate at a later stage. I stayed there until Andre and I got married in a bachelor two of us stayed there. It was awesome. We had such awesome times. And I just realized we often think, no, but I have to have that. Everybody has it. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. And it's not always the case. Sometimes God takes you through a season, and luckily, I mean, my income went up quite every 6 months. If you article, every 6 months you get a raise. I mean, how awesome is that? You start low, but it goes up. And then what also happened to me is I failed my board exam the first time. So my first salary increase, where the others got like 1,000 rand increase, my first salary increase was 200 rand. What do you do with that? So for my whole first year, I didn't have a lot of money. But in that, God taught me so much, you know, to get by with what He gives you. And if God can trust you with a little bit that you have, He can increase it and know that you are going to consult Him and that you are going to deal with it in a faithful manner. Okay, so in terms of budgeting, what I want to encourage you to do, and what we did now as well, I mean, we have a budget, but the one area that could be like this big black hole, it's not properly managed, is our grocery part, okay? Which, let's say there's like 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 rand, whatever you budget, and now it's this big black hole. That's why I say we need to make a list. So, I mean, all the other things are relatively fixed. Your rent or all those things are fixed. And now it's the spot. And now it's not even groceries. It's everything, you know. everything you buy at Pick and Pay or Sparks or Woolies or whatever. And what I did for us in the last 3 months, I went back to our credit card, to the statement, and I added up with my calculator everything I bought at Sparks. Okay, and I worked out an average for 3 months, and I just checked, is my budget actually correct? Because if you budget 2,000 rand for groceries per month, but you're spending 3, because I don't keep every slip when I go to Pick and Pay or Sparks. Okay, there's certain things I do keep. I'll show you now. But that could be this big black hole. So what you must do, you must go back somehow. The easiest is if you pay by debit or credit card and you have a statement, to add up everything, either Sparks or Pick and Pay or wherever you buy your things to live on. Take a 3 months average, because it is going to vary a little bit, and that is your budget. And if it's too much, then you need to reevaluate what you put in the trolley. Okay. If it's too much. But you could actually fool yourself and think you're really good with budgeting, but there's this one big pot. You know, that's what we had to go and look at again. All right. And then once again, you need to do it together with your spouse. And I mean, you must come and do marriage preparation one day, all of you not married yet, because there I teach you about finances in marriage, because that's a complete different ball game. Because now your wife has priorities and you have priorities, and now those priorities are not the same. Okay, you think she's wasting money and she thinks you're wasting money. And remember, it's always our money. It's our debt, it's our money when you're married. Okay, so money within a marriage or finances or budgeting, it's a completely different ballgame. You need to learn to do it together. But you always do it together as a couple. Okay, so let's go through a budget. If you can put that on for me. I worked on a salary of 15,000 rand per month. Okay. Before tax. Okay. For a single person, she's not a family, this is a single person's income. I know some of you might earn more, some of you might earn less. Okay, but I just took a random figure with which I can work on. Okay. So we're starting with gross. So first of all, make sure what your income is. And make sure what that gross is all about, because your company might pay your medical aid or a portion, or they might pay a certain portion of your pension or whatever. Make sure what is your cost to company. Okay, because that is actually on which you should. I don't want to go into should you tithe on gross or net, okay, because that's always a huge debate. This is something you need to, once again, it's your heart issue towards God. Okay, but as I said on Sunday, tithing isn't our. We're not making an idol of tithing, okay? We don't arrive when we tithe, okay? We can be as much serving mammon when we tithe as when we don't. We should walk a road of obedience towards God. We should move to extravagant giving, as the New Testament teaches us. Okay, so don't look at tithing as the ultimate. We should look at God, everything belongs to you. That 15,000 God, it's all yours, okay? And before we, if we are not there, that is our starting point. God, 15,000 rand belongs to you. Okay, so then, whether you then work out your tithe on the 15,000 or on the 12,900, because that's after tax, it's irrelevant, because we should give more than 10%. Okay, so for those of you who weren't here on Sunday, it might be a challenge for you, but read this little book. Okay, it's really great, practical, and it teaches you to move, to forget about tithing even. And just to say, God, I want to give extravagantly, and 10% is certainly not extravagance. So help me to just step up all the time. Okay, so your tithe, I would encourage you to put it, it's your first line on your budget. Okay, whatever you, and if you're growing into it, as you know, this book teaches us, and as I said last Sunday, as you're growing into it, whatever you give, put it first. Whatever you give to the church, put it first. If you're growing in that process of tithing, you say, God, I want to increase this, help me. But whatever you give, put it first. And then second, whatever you, in terms of a retirement annuity or investments, that is your next 10%. And I would suggest you make 10% of your gross income. Okay. I didn't have a retirement annuity when I earned that $2,900 in my first year. I couldn't afford it. And I wasn't stressed about it. Okay. So once again, in the same way as we need to get into the market, can be pressure and it can be, you know, you have to. In the same way, there can be pressure. I must have a retirement annuity. And all these people telling you that you're losing and you must start as early as possible. Yes, and it's true if you look at the numbers. I mean, I can work out all those things for you in terms of interest rates. You earn interest on interest, and it's really true, and it's good to start early. Okay? But you know what? At 55, when you get your fortune, God can actually tell you to give it away. How's that for a shocker? You know? God can actually, after you've now, because let me tell you, it happened to me quite a few times that I saved for Vian. You see, this is typical the way I am. 2 years before Vian was born, I mean, I wasn't even pregnant. I started saving for my baby, for my first child, like something like 100 rand a month or something. Now, eventually, we got to 5,000 rand, and it was like maybe 9 months. I was pregnant already. I felt God said to me, I must give it away. I thought, what? You know, I thought, God, I saved the money for Vian. I was diligent. I was faithful. I was this good steward, you know. Me. God said, I want you to give it away. I will provide in other ways for him. And I had to let go. Okay? So, yes, I saved. God said to me, give it away. The same, I saved for a laser eye operation 4 or 5 years ago. I saved for 3 years. I started with 50 rand per month. During my second or third year articles, I saved for 3 years to get to 15,000. When I got it, God said to me, I must give it away. I cried for weeks. I was depressed. I was devastated. It was very hard for me. But I just realized that even your pension fund that we so diligently save, at 55 when you get it, we must be open to know that, you know, it's God's. It's God's, and it set me free to realize I can save as much money as I can. I can hoard as much money as I can through my good budgeting and stewardship, because I'm now so good in this. God can tell me tomorrow to give my savings away. And it's freaky. I'm telling you, I was freaked out every time. But it gets easier. It gets easier because I'm slowly but surely I'm learning that everything belongs to God.
Maybe just to add something, the retirement thing, if you speak to a financial counselor, they always tell you that you don't have enough, you're not saving enough, and you must buy one other product from them immediately. So they work on your fear about the future. And so one needs to get the right balance as well. I've already made a piece. I mean, your so-called retirement funds, that can all sink. The JSE and everybody else can sink. Worldwide economic meltdown. Book of Revelation, it's coming. Okay, so it's guaranteed it's going to happen sometime. We don't know when. Well, today might be the last day on Earth. So it was really good to spend it with you. And we'll just continue right on in heaven. But it's important to get our focus right. And not to live in fear. I've already told the, because I've stressed in the past, you know, I'm not going to have enough, I don't know, what are we going to do? And I've just made a peace. I'm okay to work until I drop dead. That's fine. Biblically speaking, there is no such thing as retirement. I'm going to be depressed if I don't have somebody to preach at. So it's not necessarily bad to keep on working. You know, so again, I'd say it's wise to save, but you don't need to save so much that you just don't have to do anything. And so there's a good place actually to keep on trusting the Lord for the rest of your life for provision. It's not necessarily bad. Okay, so don't put your faith in that. Try and be responsible, but also don't try and save so much that you put your trust in it. Okay.
There's a very good chapter on this in this book, Randy Alcorn. Also very challenging. He has medical aid, he saves for his retirement, all these things, okay? But he explains that if we gonna get ourselves into a position where we so have so much that we don't trust in God anymore. We don't pray for daily bread because we have the bakery. We just make our own breads, you know? It's a very dangerous place to be. And I also just want to, you know, the whole thing in the financial world, they talk about financial independence. Okay? I'm sure all of you have heard about that. Financial independence is the ultimate goal we're all reaching for. You know, and I've just realized there's a very subtle thing that it takes your eyes off God. If we are all financially independent, then we're independent of God as well. Not so? So we shouldn't aim for financial independence. We should aim for financial peace. Okay. So if somebody comes to you with this whole financial independence thing, in essence, there's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, I don't know many people who have come to an age of 45 and now they come to financially independent and now they can sit back and now they can do what God wants them to do, because in Christian circles, that is the argument. I want to be financially independent so that I can do God's work. I don't know many people like that. They now have everything. They can just sit back. They never have to work again. And now they just do God's work. Okay? So don't idolize financial independence. We need to work towards financial peace and towards becoming an extravagant giver. Okay, rent. Third one there. It's either rent or it's your house payment. I work on 2,100 because I know one can actually live in East London if you share with somebody for 2,100. And if this doesn't fit into your budget, you need to trust God for a place that you can afford. I lived in Stellenbosch. Me and another girl, I paid 600 rand in the end when I got a flatmate. 1,200 divided by 2. I lived in a bachelor flat. Okay, I had a roof over my head and I was happy. So you trust God for a place that you can afford. Car, I just put in there 1,200. You know, just don't upgrade because of pressure. I mean, I audited at Remgro, for those of you who know the Remgro group in Stellenbosch. And there was this new guy driving some other, what was it, Ford Laser. Okay, he was now one of the financial guys. And, you know, I remember having lunch with him, with all these important people, all the guys, because mostly guys, and now they're talking about their cars. You know, I didn't care. I mean, I was still then driving my little Opel Corsa Light 1997 model. And you know, I didn't care because I was a girl, so they wasn't so focused on me. But now this poor new guy, he was driving his Ford Laser, and they were laughing at him. No, you must upgrade, man. You can't drive in that. And I'm telling you, like 2-3 weeks later, a very short time, maybe a month, I can't remember, when I drove in there, there was this blue BMW, like this new, like those small ones, flashy ones. And I thought, whose car is this? And then I heard, no, this new guy, there was so much pressure because everybody there is driving this. I mean, I was a bit embarrassed, I must tell you, because they always kept a spot for me when we were auditing there. The article clerks had to park outside, but they kept a spot for me between all these fancy cars. And then another manager joined me on the audit, and she drove a nice, I'm not big on cars. Yeah, Golf. A nice one. Volkswagen Golf. I said, no, you can park there. It's okay. I'll park outside. I was really bothered, but I knew, you know, within that environment, for me to now park my little Opel Corsa there, I did sometimes, but I said, okay, you can rather park there. It's okay. But you know what? There's so much pressure, especially in terms of where you work. I mean, it was fine for me because I was a girl, but I think maybe, especially the guys, there's lots of pressure in terms of what you're driving. And I just want to encourage you, don't worry about the pressure. Fix your eyes on God and do what He tells you to do, okay? That's a real man, you know? Not doing what everybody else does, but do what God tells you to do, because it takes guts, okay, not to be embarrassed about your call, and to say that life is more than just upgrading because I feel pressured or pressurized, okay? And then insurance, I just want to say the, obviously you must have insurance on your car, and if you live in a house, your house content, but check your increase every year, you know, Andre and I, well, I ask Andre to phone. I just do the sum, and then I tell Andre he must phone them, because then it's an increase of 17-18%. And you know, most of us wouldn't even notice because it's small. It maybe goes up from 500 to 600, say for example. And you think, oh, okay, it's fine. And I mean, you're busy, eh? Who has time now to take out a calculator like Reese and do your little sum? But I want to encourage you, because insurance can actually be this, also this big black hole of money that just disappears. And you see, if you miss that 118% last year, you can't argue this year about 2 years ago's increase. Okay, so they're just going to build up. Until you come to a point where you say, okay, I'm going to now get 3 different quotes again, and that's admin. So just check your insurance. We did it twice now in a row, 2 years in a row, both times. Now it's even lower than our premium last year. How that works, I have no idea. But check up on that. Just phone and say, you just want to double check the increase. Just explain what it is, because it's like 20% and you just want to know, and they will come down. Okay, you're not fighting with them. You just are asking.
I just had to go through one of those incidents for myself a while back with the insurance budget, outsurance. It keeps on going up. Went to Augment, had a phone call of these guys trying to sell you insurance. Quote looked better than outsurance, obviously, that the whole output, the two companies to get one another, and you're having the trial period. And then the outsurance came back at you, and he told me afterwards, every year you're entitled to do a reassessment of your insurance. Because you grow with one insurance company, your risks lower down, and then you have a better opportunity to bring down your premium. So I would suggest everybody, every year, I'm not sure whenever you took out your insurance, mine is like every September. He said to me, every September, phone outsurance, speak to an assessor or whatever, and then you just reevaluate your insurance, and then they can just adjust it accordingly. And like you said now, mine was up to almost 2,000 Rand a month, and it came back to 1,700 as I took it out the first time 4 years ago.
One other thing I also found, because I've been paying insurance for a long time, is every 2 or 3 years, literally, even maybe before that, get quotes at other places as well, because they up your thing every year, like 20%, next year's 20%, but if you just go to the guy next door, it's often half. Like, my insurance dropped from $800 to $250, and just by going to someone else. And I've got a better deal than what I had at the previous one. So, yeah, just be awake, and every now and again, just look around.
Obviously, there is a bit of admin, but I want to encourage you, because that's definitely also something where we can free up money for the kingdom. Okay, Aldi.
I want to ask about something else. Like, I often get calls, I'm sure most of us, about like life insurance and like insuring your salary, and I feel uncomfortable with that stuff. Like, I mean, I'm sure God will provide in that case. So, but are you supposed to have that stuff?
There's also something where we need to consult God. Okay, there's not a right or a wrong. Also, in this book, I'm going back to this book because it's the first book I actually get godly advice. There's a very good chapter on that as well. Okay, so you need to, obviously, if you're in a family situation and your wife and you, the husband, and you kind of worried about your wife, because people, we need to face it, we're all going to die. Okay, and sometimes we just want to be like an ostrich and put our head in the sand and say, no, I'm going to get very old. And you know, but we're all going to die. And we need to live, as Andre said, with eternity in mind. We are going to live forever if we know Jesus, but on this earth, we are going to die. And surely if you feel as a husband, you need to make provision for your children or your wife, do that by all means. But once again, we can't make them live in luxury. Your wife then must also learn to trust in the Lord. Okay, but there is a case that if your wife or your children, if your wife has never really worked or whatever, it's something we need to check with the Lord and go with the peace in our hearts. Okay, we don't have life insurance at this stage. But we've spoken about it and we don't, at this very moment, we don't really have peace about it. Okay, but for those of you who do have life insurance, check it with God. Make sure it's what God wants you to do. But once again, people, we can live in fear. We can be driven by fear. What if? So now we have that policy and that policy and that life insurance and that retirement annuity because of fear, not because of faith, because of fear. And just make sure whatever is on your budget is not fear-driven. Even insurance, you can be completely overinsured because of fear. Okay, and if you don't have money for insurance, you trust in the Lord. Okay, just don't spend your money then on other nonsense and say you don't have money. But if you honestly don't have money for insurance, you trust in the Lord. Okay. Okay, just quickly, the last few things. Medical aid. I mean, there's always questions, should we have insurance? Should we have medical aid? You go with the peace in your heart. Okay. What we have, we only have a hospital plan. In other words, medical insurance. And what we do, I'll show you now at the bottom, we save on a monthly basis for general medical expenses because it's much cheaper than having a medical, that saving plan thing, because you actually pay admin fees. Whenever they deal with something on behalf of you, you pay admin fees. And I've checked it myself. So if I pay cash at the chemist for my things, I would pay maybe 100 rand for the medicine. If I just say, okay, send it into the medical aid, it will cost me maybe 130. Okay, so it's up to you. If you do that savings plan, it's a forced way of saving because at least you know there's something in the kitty. But if you have the discipline of saving once a month, 200 or 300 or whatever you need for medical expenses, depending if your family can be, I mean, you guys will know, sometimes everybody's healthy and then sometimes it's just ridiculous. But I would recommend something like medical insurance, especially if you're married, because if your wife gets pregnant, it's quite a bit of money. Okay, the whole hospital, that thing could be quite a bit of money. Okay, that's medical aid. Electricity and water can also be a big black hole, so you need to just double check that. But you know, sometimes we get very tense on electricity and water. I mean, switch the light off, and I mean, we need to be responsible in that area, but just don't be too tense, okay? I mean, I can't now even maybe bake lasagna because the stove is... I can't make a cup of coffee using the kettle. I mean, you need to work it out for yourself, okay? But sometimes this can go completely out of hand, especially if you have a tumble dryer and a dishwasher and those things. Okay, so you need to check. Cell phone, I just want to quickly talk about. It can be a big black hole. I have a contract for 50 rand, one of those cheap Cell C contracts. I think I have a very nice phone, Nokia. And I have an SMS bundle of 75 rand per month, which gives me 300 SMSs. So my cell phone is more or less 125 rand per month, and I try to stick to that. Okay. And if your cell phone cost is 500 or 1,000, then you need to decide, is that where you want your money to go to? Or is it a lack of self-control? Okay. I mean, cell phone, I mean, Andre and I are on the phone all the time because of, you know, church things and we have, you know, different phones that we're using, but it could be a lack of self-control. And you have to ask yourself, do I have the money to buy a very expensive phone for now? Or should I actually downgrade and put it in my debt? Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a big temptation, especially for the guys. I don't know, but you must watch what phone you get. And we need to watch how much time we're spending on the phone. It's very expensive. Can be very expensive. Do SMSs if it's too expensive. Phoning or phone after hours on your 3 minutes or whatever. But just try and self-control. Self-control is good.
Okay, bank charges. Some people don't know what their bank charges are. It could also be quite a bit. If you want to bank at a bank that is really cheap, it's Capitec. Their bank charges are really, really cheap. I mean, I'm not promoting Capitec or anything, but we have, for example, a savings account at Capitec. We opened for Vian, and when we have any savings that we have, we actually save in our Capitec account because the interest rate is much better there. Okay, so that is
7% if you sell 6 point something if you.
Yeah, it's. I think it changed.
6 months.
But in any case, so just do your research a bit as well. Okay, make sure you're not paying too much for bank charges. Okay. And then gym or exercise, whatever you do. The active attitude asks 2 to 5 per month. Okay, that little castle thing at the corner. The fancy one in the hub is, depending on if you have a discovery or not, anything from 300 rand up. Hey, so you must make quality decisions, okay? Where you're going to exercise, what equipment you're going to buy, it must be part of your budget, and you must make quality decisions around that, okay? And if you can't afford a gym, you run down the road, okay? Or you do your stomach exercises at home, or you get yourself weights or something. Okay, gym is not the ultimate. Okay, many people have gym, also have a 2-year contract, and then they hardly ever go. I mean, what a waste of money. You can free that up, give it to God, and run down Bonza Bay. Okay. Okay, petrol. Petrol's obviously, I just budgeted 1 tank, more or less. Honestly, that's my car, 45 liters. Okay, get yourself a nice small car, then you can budget 400 rand.
Or guys, get a scooter, okay? Get a scooter, get a bicycle. You don't have to always drive with your car. And yes, you need to get life insurance. That's true, but...
Then you need life insurance, that's what one guy said. Okay, but just reevaluate your driving, okay? And my dad, we grew up relatively poor, okay? My parents were teachers. I was 1 of 5, and it was. I mean, my dad had this whole thing that he's checking his driving all the time. He's not going to drive more than 10,000 kilometers per year max. That's now his goal. So now, I mean, when I went to varsity, it was this big thing because I always had to find a lift from Ladysmith in the Cape to Stellenbosch. I felt like this orphan almost, you know, not having a dad wanting to drive me to Stellenbosch. But that was just his life, his view on that, you know. I'm not going to drive unnecessarily. If there's a lift going to Stellenbosch, I'm not going to drive you there. Which really makes sense, you know. But for me, it was a bit excessive because I really sometimes wanted my dad to drive me to Stellenbosch, you know. So just evaluate all the time and not become too tense about, I need to save money, and become this nervous wreck. I can't drive anywhere because it's going to cost petrol. Sometimes you have to drive. You have to visit family. You have to do that. You have to maybe give somebody else a lift who can't afford it. But there's always, okay, the two views on that. Domestic worker, if you don't have money for a domestic worker, you do it yourself. Okay, it's a luxury. I mean, for me, it's the ultimate luxury. If somebody cleans my house, I'm so happy. It's my best day of the week. But if you can't do it, for years, I've done it myself. Okay, so many things we just take for granted. We feel we must have it. Which is not necessarily the case. There's that big black hole, okay, the 2,000 rand groceries. And then savings. I just want to talk about for 5 minutes, then I'm going to give time for questions, and then we're done. Savings, 1550. Okay, that's not the real savings I've spoken about in that 70 principle of lasting wealth. Okay, it's not 100%, but it's kind of there. This is what you do. You're not spending that money every month. You're putting it away somehow. What we are banking at Investec that allows you to just have like a cash management account. So I just transfer. It's just like a It's like a savings account within your account, and I just transfer money from that to my general account for free. Okay. So I keep it separately. So you need to work out a way for you how you can do this. Whatever you want to spend on your clothing, your holidays can take all your money, hey? December holidays, and then in January you can barely buy bread. Okay, so you need to save for your holidays. And that will also include maybe your petrol for holidays. That's medical. Giving, we need to save for giving.
And with the holidays, Sonica's dad said, I mean, he was a teacher and his wife was staying at home looking after the five children. So it's one teacher's salary, five children, but he somehow paid for all of their university fees. And I mean, Sonica came out with no debt. And he had a philosophy, basically, that how do you do it? Well, number one, don't drive a fancy car. Number two, don't do expensive holidays. Number three, don't marry a woman that spends a lot. But that's actually, if you don't have much, that's actually very wise, you know. So for instance, when we don't like spending lots of money on holidays. So we go stay with family or friends. We just have to get there and money to use there, because it's not a priority for us. I mean, for you it can be a priority, so it's fine. But for us, we don't want to waste. For us, it's a waste of money, big holidays. For us personally, we'd rather buy stuff for the house or invest something that we can physically, tangibly see or whatever, you know. So you need to determine your values around that as well. Okay.
Okay, medical, in their giving, that is now over and above your 10%. Okay, what we do, we budget for giving. And even if it lies there for 3 months, after month three, God will provide somebody that you can give it to. Okay. And let me tell you, that made it much easier for me, because I'm a very left brain accountant kind of person. So if I need to now all of a sudden give and I haven't budgeted for it, it freaks me out. Okay. Maybe some of you are like that as well. It's not in our budget. It's now going to put us back. It's now a crisis in my life. Okay. It was like that in the beginning. Maybe some of you give more impulsively, which is, it's great as well, because we need to live free. Okay. But if you budget to give, it's much easier, because it's gone in a sense. Okay? You budget to give, so it's not yours anymore. So you take it out of your pocket, you put it there, and whenever the opportunity arises, you can give. Like, for example, our many of you know the story, our domestic worker in our home, we discovered she's diabetic. So a leg was, there was infection in her leg. She was on her way to lose her leg completely. And praise God, we discovered it in time. And I took her to a GP, and he gave her antibiotics, and was in about 2 to 3 weeks, everything was okay. But it was a drama, because I was stressing all the time about her leg. And you know, we just used our giving money for that. It was about R1,000. For doctor and antibiotics. And we could just so easily do that, because the money was lying there to give. So it wasn't even for me that I'm now kind of this wonderful person helping her out. The money wasn't mine anymore. It was there lying for whoever needs it. Okay, so it made it much easier for me to give, because I let go before I even give. Okay. Entertainment, takeaways, eating out, that could also be a big black hole. So what Andre and I did, that was always part of our grocery budget. Very dangerous. And we just realized, oh, no, it wasn't. But it was up. It was up there. Okay? So we budgeted a certain amount for eating out and takeaways and things. And then we just realized, no, there's not enough discipline in that area. And I'm not keeping the slips. Okay, so now what we do, we put it down here. So whenever we now go and eat out, this is the only thing now I check slips for, because this can go completely out of hand. And then we just make sure that, you know, there's a bit of discipline there. Okay. So instead of having this big meal, we can maybe just go for coffee, which is still time together, but we're not spending R200. We can maybe just spend 50. Okay. So just a little bit of discipline. Then other things, birthdays or anniversaries are good nothing to save for. For your child feature, who said that? Yeah, Matty. Maintenance, also a good thing. Car services, that can bite you, eh? All of a sudden now your car must go in for a service, and now, oh my word, I didn't plan for that. So you save 300 or 400 or 500 rand per month for that. And then when your car needs to be serviced, the money is there. You don't have to stress. This really takes stress out of your life. Capital expenditure, whatever you, maybe there is something. Maybe you want to buy a new fridge. You put it on a capital expenditure. You save your 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 rand per month until you have it, and then you buy your new fridge. Pets can be a big expense, eh? For those of you who have pets.
A massive expense. My dad, they've got two dogs, and he told me they spent over the last 2 years over 100,000 rand on these two dogs. I'm just thinking, Lord, what could we have done with that money? But anyway, but it's amazing how people's priorities sometimes are, yeah, pets.
But once again, pets. If you have a pet and you do spend 100,000 rand, that is your choice. Okay, we can't judge one another because... What is funny now? We can't, you know, somebody will have a nice holiday. Somebody will have an expensive pet. Somebody will do whatever with their money. And you think it's and that's why I say in a marriage relationship, let me tell you, the fun and games start. Because then you need to work together. And now you start thinking, no, but that is a waste of money. But for that person, it's his whole world or her whole world. Okay, and then you need to let go. You need to say, I respect your priorities. Or I need to let go of my priority because I agree this is maybe just a waste of money. Okay, so people, this is my idea. If you want, I can email it to you, but it's not, we're going to put all of these on the website. Okay, if you want to maybe use it, but make sure you know what your income is and prioritize the important things you put first, and then you save for whatever you want to buy. Are there any questions? Okay, Kuba.
Do you think we sometimes exclude people in our socializing because we go out for sushi or we spend more than other people would, and therefore they are excluded because they don't want to spend that kind of money?
I think we do. Or we actually not encourage, but people go into debt. They spend more than what they could. Let me just give you a quick example. When I was in my first year of articles, we were already dating at that stage. Andre was a student. And I can't remember. I don't think he really knew what I earned. He just knew I was now working and I was now this upcoming CA, because obviously I must now maybe have something. And then Andre would, it was just very early in our relationship, so I was a little bit embarrassed about my financial situation, you know, that I have barely money to buy food almost. And then Andre would say, no, but let's go buy ice cream at McDonald's. And then he wants to buy the ice cream with the chocolate stuff, okay. And I just, oh, no, let's buy the small ones. No, we must buy those with the chocolate. And then, you know, stupid me, but I was too embarrassed. And this is why, this is to come to Kuba's question. I was embarrassed to tell him I don't have money for that. I really didn't have money for two of those ice creams, okay? I didn't have money. I didn't even have money for the small ones. But I should have told him that, and I didn't. So that's not his mistake. It's my mistake. So I think often, in our circle of friends, people don't have money now to go to Love in the Blue. But we have money, and we don't even think about maybe they don't have money. So yes, I think we do either exclude, or people feel embarrassed, so they just spend the money, and then they don't actually, they need to compromise on something else. Ental. Does that answer your question? So we need to think twice, people, about our social things we do.
Okay, I have two questions. The first one, I've heard financial advisors say you should have an emergency fund, which is 3 times your salary, saved up, not touched at all. That's the first question. So I just want to know how biblical that is. And then the second question is about property. Well, in essence, property, if you own property, it's twofold because it's still saving to your retirement. But it's often very difficult to tell what is an expense and what is an asset and what you're actually paying for. So how much, for example, if you're paying a bond off and it falls, you know, how much of that would fall into your 10%, you know, because in essence, it's actually almost better to, the return on property is maybe better than on a retirement annuity. Yeah.
Okay, let's just go to your first question. I think very little or very few people have 3 months, their monthly. Hardly anybody have a 1 month. Okay. So financial advisors, they're not necessarily eternally minded. Okay, I don't know any financial advisor who is eternally minded, who will tell you rather to give than to save. Do you know anybody like that? So often we look to financial advisors to answer our financial questions, and yes, in terms of an earthly mindset, all that they say is right. But we, in all of these things, we need to go to God. Okay, so if we have now a 3 month kitty because of fear, what if I lose my job? What if some other disaster strikes? If it's fear-driven, it's not good. If it's lying there, but you open it, God can tell you any time to give it away, because that can happen, that's fine. So if you're saving and if you have money, but you open that, it's God and He can ask you to give it away, that's fine. But to hoard because of fear is not biblical. Okay. And then in terms of, do you want to add? In terms of your house, certainly if you want to, that 10% investment, rather feel you do it in property, by all means. Okay, but I'm just saying property is not always the best option. Well, this is almost, you know, people go into a panic because I'm not in the property market. You know, they feel like Dion said, you almost feel like a failure because there's something wrong with you because you don't have property. You know, and I think it's just the emphasis. It's just we need to, this money, whatever you have, everything we have belongs to God. So if God tells you to buy a house and to put your money in that and not have a retirement annuity, by all means, do it. God knows the future. God knows your future. But we just need to, at all times, not be fear-driven and be eternally minded and consult with God. Any investment could be good. Any investment could be bad. We don't know. Okay, so consult with God at all times and never be fear-driven, no matter what you do.
On the house thing as well, where we are at currently, we are saving for a house. So we are renting, and then if we have extra, we're putting that away a little bit every month. And we're living loosely with it, so if the Lord says give it away, we'll give it away. But as in general, we are saving it, putting in this little Capitec fund, getting 6% interest on it, compared to if you add a full bond on a house, you're paying 10%+ on negative interest, in a sense. So it's almost like a 16% difference if you compare the two. And if the interest rates go up, the difference is going to grow. You know, so we're just trying to be weird and different. And but I'd like to challenge you on that. Rather try and rent with less, put money aside. And if you have to save for 10 years, then do it. Just allow the Lord to lead you. Don't feel that you have to buy the house now. Rather save for 10 years. I'm willing to save for 20 years. I don't care. But my house in heaven, now that one, that's the important one, you know. So just be different from what everybody is expecting you to do, and rather go more cash if you can. Put 200,000 rand down cash or 400,000 cash. Buy a smaller place first and pay it off. And then buy something bigger or whatever, as the Lord would lead you. Okay.
Other questions? Anything? Nothing. Okay, but that's it. If you maybe you don't want to ask now, you can email me. I don't have all the answers, eh? I'm not, I know Andre jokes, I'm not an expert at all. I'm learning as all of you are, but this is something that's very close to my heart because I know this is not something that many people talk about in the church because often pastors feel a little bit out of their depth when it comes to these kind of things, so they rather avoid it. You know, and for me and Andre, this is awesome to deal with this and to share with you our stories and our lives because it's God's will for you to be at peace, not to stress. Okay, so can I just pray? Do you want to pray?
Just something I'd like to add. I mean, that in that budget, you're giving 10% and a little bit extra. I would say long-term, this is long-term stuff. But put down goals and tell yourself, right, so I have the house, I have this, I'm going to pay my house off as quickly as possible. I'm going to aim to live on so much. And I'm saying, God, I'm trusting you to increase my income to so much, and I'm trusting you to increase my giving to 20%. And then, Lord, to 30%, or maybe one day 50%. But just be open-minded. Just go to the Lord and say, God, I want to partner with you. This is like, I'm, you know, the basics, but just tell the Lord, God, lead me, you know, partner with him. Allow the supernatural into your life. Allow God to promote you at work or to give you a job for more or whatever. But allow the Lord for the supernatural to step in so that you can actually increase your giving for whatever the Lord would lead you to do. Okay, so that's something that we're praying through. And we probably can't afford it. But I'm saying, Lord, I'm open-minded. Teach us, show us. But we want to step into the supernatural. Okay, Sonic is going to pray for us.
I just want to ask if we can have a few volunteers just helping us clean up before tomorrow. Is that okay? Viele hande maak lig die werk. Hey? Okay, let's just pray quickly. God, I honor you for being such an awesome God. Lord, it's such a privilege to serve you, God, and how can we ever thank you for the gift of eternal life? How can we ever repay you, Lord? We can't. And that's why I just know, Lord, you're not interested in our money and in our stuff, but you want our hearts. And therefore, I pray for our hearts to be fully and completely focused on you, and that all these things will become easier because we look to you and we fix our eyes on you, Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I pray, God, for all these precious people. Lord, I thank you for their time. I thank you, God, that they've sacrificed this morning to come and listen. And I pray, God, for breakthrough. I pray for their debt situation, for whoever has debt, God. I pray for supernatural breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for salary increases where it's necessary, God. I pray for job situations where they really need to increase, God, to make it every month. I pray for that. I pray for the promotions to come through, God, where we need it. And I pray, God, for our hearts to be open to give. Our hearts to be open, Lord, to send our money wherever you tell us to send it. To not to make money our master, but to make it our servant, to tell it where to go. And I pray just your blessing over all of these people here, God. Thank you for their hearts. Thank you for their loyalty and their commitment. And I just ask that you will take them on a road to financial peace, God, that they'll be blown out of their minds when they come to a position where they just know they are not exchanging this for anything, because to have peace in this area is so awesome. So I pray for that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to be sharing on this topic in the light of eternity. A really good one to hear. Thank you so much, guys. We really, really appreciate you coming. Baie dankie. Ons waardeer dit verskriklik baie. Mag die Here julle seën. Okay, lekker dag.